Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
From barking at shadows to chewing furniture, would you believe that some dogs are so stressed they're now being prescribed puppy Prozac? But is medicating our pets the new normal or a sign that we've just gone too far? Well, let's get more on this now. I'm joined by Dr. Dan O'Neill, who's Associate Professor at the Royal Veterinary College, who has studied all of this for well over 20 years. Hello, Dan.
Good morning, Claire. A real pleasure to be here.
Lovely to have you with us. Now, I know you examined this increase in the number of dogs being prescribed medication for severe behavioural issues. But what do you think has been driving the surge?
Actually, a lot of this is multi-component, but a lot of it is probably people choosing the wrong sorts of dogs, probably having the wrong environment, not able to walk their dogs enough, giving their dogs enough stimulation. So a lot of these dogs are probably bored and not getting enough stimulation.
So the dogs are sad because their humans are not treating them properly.
It's often a mismatch between the two. During COVID, everyone went nuts for dogs and we all wanted dogs. We rushed out and got dogs because we were at home. The COVID pandemic has ended. People are going back to work. They're getting their life again. And these poor dogs are often struggling to cope with a previous life during COVID where they were getting lots of attention and now being left alone on their own.
So what is this medication that's being prescribed?
This particular one, there's actually quite a few that are prescribed in dogs. There was a very famous human book called Prozac Nation, where we were looking at humans being over-medicated, perhaps. So this is why I looked at this in dogs. It's fluoxetine. It is a drug that's meant to help dogs cope with some behavioural problems, especially separation-related behavioural problems. So really, it's a drug that helps them to cope. A lot of the problems with the drug is it can cause lethargy, dogs not eating so much. So there are side effects as well.
So what you found then is that there has been a definite increase, has there, in the prescriptions?
Yes, the levels of Prozac have gone up, fluoxetine, the use of this drug, by 10 times usage over the past 10 years. So that suggests that our dogs, maybe the types of dogs that we're selecting to own, maybe how we're looking after them, maybe the lives that we're asking these dogs to live, probably aren't that suitable. We tend to want dogs now that are babies or baby substitutes. People call them little fur babies. So we're demanding dogs to behave like children instead of actually behaving like dogs. Mm-hmm. So often it's nothing wrong with the dog. It's just our expectation of the dog is different.
Right. Even things like, because I remember when I was growing up, the dog never really came inside. You know, they were outside. And if you wanted to play with the dog, you went outside to play. But most dogs now are indoor pets, aren't they? Is even that a change that might be having an impact on how they feel and how stressed they are?
Exactly. And these are the changes that are happening. So dogs are dogs. Dogs want to run, they want to play, they want to interact, they want to do what dogs want to do. But we're now forcing or asking dogs to behave like children, like humans. And we want dogs to be inside. We want them to be on their own quite a lot of time. We want them often to sleep in our beds with us. And that doesn't suit every single dog. We also go out and leave them for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hours on their own. And we expect this dog just to sit there. There isn't an on-off switch on the back of a dog where you can just switch them on when you want them to play and then switch them off when you're disinterested or you don't want them to play.
Mm-hmm. So for anyone then who has a dog, what are the signs, Dan, that a dog might be stressed or anxious? Because some of them, I'm sure, they might appear or be very well behaved, but are there certain things we should be looking out for?
In the particular case of separation-related behaviours, these are where when you're leaving or when you're coming back or when you're away, the dogs often will whine or bark all the time. Sometimes they'll poo or wee in the house. They might rip your cushions apart. It's not that the dog is naughty. It's not that the dog actually has a severe problem. It's just purely they're struggling with being left alone. So you're looking to see if your dog is getting really stressed when you're leaving the house or if your dog is overexcited when you come back.
What about licking of paws? Is that a sign?
Sometimes it can be. Unfortunately, we have lots of dogs with a thing called atopy, which is severe allergies. Reckon about a fifth of all dogs have that. And a lot of those dogs will lick their paws genuinely because their paws are itchy. So the advice always is, if you think your dog is unwell, is to go and ask your veterinary surgeon and try and first of all see if there's a medical problem. If there is, that can be cured. If there isn't, and it's a behavioural issue, then we need to deal with all the behavioural approaches.
So the medicine then, does it work or is it just treating the symptom?
That's such a good question. The answer is that it is treating the symptom. In dogs, we call them clinical signs, but basically, drugs are not the first line. First of all, they're prescription only, they can only be prescribed by vets. And secondly, they are just purely there to support retraining. And I'm going to say retraining of the owner as well as of the dog, because really the issue often isn't the dog, it's the dyad, it's the owner and the dog together. So the drugs alone are completely inappropriate. Often we reach for them because it's a quick fix. It's kind of the lazy approach. But actually, we have to do the long hours and retrain these dogs.
Right, so you have to be prepared to put the time in, and it can take a very long time and a lot of patience to retrain dog and owner.
Yeah, exactly. So if it is separation related issues, when you're leaving the house, you have to learn to kind of ignore the dog. You play it down. You don't make a big deal of it. When you come back, even though the dog looks so excited to see you, you have to kind of ignore them, take off your coat, put down your keys, make a cup of tea. So the whole idea is you're trying to downplay the whole leaving and return aspects. And this is hard because as humans, we love our dogs. We just want to play with them. But actually, sometimes that can be worse
But should
by
you have
doing
a dog, Dan, if you're going to be away all day, every day?
it. There are lots of options. Lots of people will take their dogs to relatives. They will sometimes have dog sitters that come in. You can drop home if you're not working too far away. You can drop home. Lots of companies now allow you to bring, I work at the Royal Veterinary College, we're allowed to bring our dogs in. Well, you would hope that would be the case in a veterinary college, but so there are lots of options, and often we have one or two people at home at different times if people are working shifts. So dogs give us so much in our lives. They give us companionship. COVID showed us that people that had dogs were much less stressed.
And are there particular breeds then that will be more stressed than others?
Yeah, the study that we did showed that the breeds that are, I'm using inverted commas here, that are more dog, that are less moved away from being a dog, were the ones that seem to be worse. So these are ones like border collies and beagles and dachshunds and Staffordshire Bull Terriers. These dogs are more dog. They need more exercise. They need more stimulation. So these were the breeds that typically were ending up getting more fluoxetine, probably because they were struggling more to live the life we want a dog to live.
Yeah, I don't know if you keep an eye on social media trends, but you see all the time these memes and photographs of the cute dogs. It's just when you said earlier, you know, treating dogs like children or like babies, people are looking for the cutest dog, often so that they can put those pictures up on social media. I just wonder whether that is a warning sign, but that perhaps there's going to be more of this now as people look for the ultimate cute doggy picture, that's what they're going to be seeking out as opposed to a pet that will remain a dog throughout its lifetime.
Yeah, it's such a great point. This is actually what I've been working on for the last 5, 10 years at the Royal Veterinary College. We're moving so much dogs away from looking like a dog. So having a nose and a tail and a spine that bends and eyes that aren't bulging out on stalks. And we're moving towards dogs that we see as cute, that actually don't look like a dog anymore. All the key bits of a dog are removed, and we see that as cute. That we're rapidly trying to reframe that isn't cute, that's suffering. And what we see as cute, in other words, non-dog-like, from the dog's perspective, step into the dog's life and try and breathe through a skull that doesn't have a nose, and try and wag a tail that doesn't exist, and try and bend a spine that's just fused. So cute is an interesting concept, Claire, and I have a feeling it's one we're going to come back to more and more over the coming
Yeah,
years.
I have a couple of questions that have come in for you, Dan. A listener says that we recently lost one of our two Labradors. Our remaining Labrador has been so quiet and sleepy. Should we be worried that he's suffering from the loss of our other dog? They do grieve, don't they?
They do, yeah. So first of all, commiserations to that listener. That's really sad. Dogs definitely bond. They're sentient animals. They understand companionship, and they certainly will grieve. So that owner really can just trying to be there for that dog, be patient, give the dog more time, more attention, try and get the dog out, having more exercise, maintain a routine. But a lot of this is just patience. Animals are so, so, so aware of what's going on, just like humans.
Should you get another dog in that circumstance?
One option is to get another dog. It's always, certainly I was in general practice for 20 years before coming to the university, and it's always a challenge because if the current dog is quite old, you then have the issues of a young dog, which might not necessarily be great for the older dog. So each owner has to make up their own mind. If their current dog is young, getting a second dog could well be a very good solution.
Dan, it's been great to talk to you. Dr. Dan O'Neill there, Associate Professor at the Royal Veterinary College. We are going to go to the newsroom now and get the latest news update from Brian Jennings.